Welcome to the Thriving Wolf Wife Collective.
Welcome to Shade Tree Rising.
And Blue Hued Meditations.
Okay. Thriving Life, Health and Wellness, Blue Hued Meditations, and collaboratively known as...
Shade Tree Rising.
Collaborative.
Oh, this is exciting. I see us watching this in 5 years, giggling and laughing.
You're recalling it.
So what do you have there in your hands?
Oh, this is my Wildwood Tarot deck. The first card up is the Kingfisher, King of Arrows. Actually, I've never seen this card before. It's beautiful. Beautiful bird, kingfisher bird. We saw so many beautiful birds on our vacation this weekend.
Yes, we did. Those yellow ones.
I will be getting a picture of those gorgeous yellow ones at some point in my life. Or just observing them much closer, like for much longer. They were, God, so beautiful. I actually want to look them up in the book just to see if I can find out which ones they were.
Right.
The yellow was like on the, if I'm right, yellow on the back, and the top of the wings, and on the beak and the face, right? On the top, on the face, not the whole face, and then like red blotches.
Oh.
Just, or was it on the shoulders, there was red blotches, or was it on the cheeks?
I didn't see that.
I saw that the second time, actually I saw them three times.
I know there was black. On the underside of the wings, maybe.
And black on the other side?
I don't know.
It did feel like there was only yellow on the top back part of the wings.
Right.
Yeah, it's bright though.
Yeah.
You have to keep those in mind.
Fuck you out. It's midnight.
Is it already? Holy shit, my clock is 11. 10. It's only 11. They start at 10. You didn't miss a whole hour. It looks like 11 to me. It's 11:37 a.m.
for something. Time is so not linear.
It's so irrelevant at this point.
Easily be our topic of focus.
You know, I had that conversation. I love my random, not random encounters. Because I have these conversations with people that I don't even know. It just happened. And I'm like, oh, it's lovely. But reaffirm all of the things, you know? And the level of awareness people are coming to.
Yeah. I find it's spreading.
It's spreading. This was a supposed to be doctor turned lawyer, now woodworker, basically.
Carpenter.
And does remodels and such, and very analytical, right? Doctor, lawyer, very analytical. Capricorn.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
But at the same time, I asked him, okay, so what are you missing right now? What are you searching for? What's your next thing? What do you want next? What do you mean? I'm like, anything. What's the next thing? Life? Business? Sleep more? It could be anything. What do you want? And he said, more things I don't have, like more new things, right? Trying new things. Okay, what kinds of new things? Well, I don't even know. Just whatever. Whatever pops up. I said, it's okay. So you want to learn to be a yes man more. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And then we started talking later about time and the past being now and the future being now and the concept of time being this strange concept placed upon us that really makes no goddamn sense at all. It's just like, there are parts where you're not quite there at my level and there are other parts where I could see your analytical brain just blowing me out of the water.
Right.
You know?
It's that bridge between science and spirituality.
Yes.
That deciphers that awakening into something the physical realm can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But putting it all in perspective.
His agnostic view of death is very molecular.
Mm.
And I was watching him as he's describing it, just like, this is a new perspective I haven't had in a really long time. And it was just nice to be mindful of that concept of, when was the last time you had like a scientific analytical conversation about death and molecules and, you know, like, shit gets deep.
What was his view on the molecular death and energy?
The concept that there's no heaven or hell, it's a reintegration of the molecular structure.
Ugh.
You know, when your soul leaves the body, you're just made of molecules. So it's just a reintegration, you know, maybe I'll become the tree or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Speaking about language.
Yes.
And then I'm like, so obviously you believe, or then he was like, you know, or a bunny or something. And I said, so you obviously believe in reincarnation then? He said, oh yeah. So I was like, okay. We can have good conversations.
Right. Science has finally gotten to the point of really backing,
yes,
what spiritual realm has known for so long.
I feel like that started, I noticed it started anyways, really on the level it is now when it was measured at time of death to see the weight difference of the body at time of death and how it got lighter when the soul was released, you know, left the body. That concept, I think, when it became more mainstream, was like, whoa, holy shit, wait a minute now. Even for the people who are non-believers of Christianity or religion, it really did kind of go, well, there's, we go somewhere. This is obviously just a shell.
Right.
Huge for growth and transformation.
Actual measurement.
And we talked about that a little bit tonight in our conversation of, you know, the fact that we are energy beings just inhabiting this, in this body, this pet, in this planet, and it's a choice, you know, energy being our main source. And I showed him some of our pictures, and I was introducing to you and was like, you know, who you are to me, and the things that, kind of some of the things we talked about. In line with that, I totally just lost my train of thought in that regard. What was I just saying? What were you talking about?
It's because you showed him the Sasquatch picture, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I thought about it. What were you talking about?
Well, we were talking about...
Such a good Sasquatch picture. I just love it. I knew I saw it when I saw it. I was like, Sasquatch, Sasquatch. Get over there and show me your Sasquatch face.
The one where I'm just looking into the lens. You caught me in all natural.
Loved it.
Yes, they're back on topic.
Okay, so we were having a conversation in the lilac groves at Manitou Park. It's fabulous. Wretched stone bench. It wasn't as glorious, but still very nooked away. It was lovely. Reincarnation, and then we hit upon and I was talking to him about baseline and the pet. Right, you know, our conversations about this. And the whole concept of, you know, you even needing reminder. Everybody needs the reminder to come back to the baseline of what's important. And the concept that I was explaining to you in the tent of fucking touch, man. This is amazing, you know.
Yes.
This is what we're here for. And, that sparked a whole other avenue of conversation that was very surprising. The more I go with unexpectation, the more I am just so supremely surprised at the level of depth people are willing to go if allowed the space and safety to do so. And when I put the expectations on them, I am manifesting that in them and not allowing them to, before I even meet them, even to open up and be that way, because I'm manifesting that they won't with my expectations. Right?
That's tricky.
Oh,
what
card? Skill card.
Be still?
Skill.
We've pulled this one before.
We have pulled this one before.
Honing the skills. I don't think we ever actually read from the book about that one. I was actually really intrigued.
It's the mother. I think I did. Do you want to read it? Give it to me and I can read it. It's up to you. Either way.
What number is it?
It's the Eight of Stones. In regard to wonderful things.
Alright, so we got the Eight of Stones. Skill. A man clad in skins sits in a cave looking at a stone carving. Around him on the walls and the ground are seven objects which he has created. To one side is an ancient handprint. The signature of the maker. Three rush lamps paint the scene with light and shadow. Alright. The meaning, we do need new lights. More lights.
And your glasses.
And my glasses.
Do you want me to read it? I have better lighting on here.
Sure.
Why don't you just bring your eyes?
I do want to look.
Meaning, there is an ability to utilize skill for the completion of labors, practical necessity, as well as love. Sometimes, intense concentration and dedication are required. Since human beings first walked the earth, we have honed and practiced our skills in all manner of practical and esoteric arts. We have the awareness and self-discipline to develop new skills, to meet new challenges, and have overcome nature's most adverse and deadly conditions. Whether it was the life-saving and practical skills required to track and bring down sometimes dangerous game for food, or the growing and managing of crops for the good of the tribe or village, human beings have continually striven to invent new social frameworks, scientific or philosophical concepts, and practical tools and equipment. Such discoveries require us to master new skills for the betterment of the tribe or society. This unique human ability requires patience, perseverance, and most of all, self-discipline. Acquiring a skill that involves imagination and artistic flair requires time spent learning and defining the nature of self-expression. The mastery of any skill requires you to call on the divine to bless the effort and energy expended in the process.
The union of the physical with the spiritual. That's how I took it.
In relationship to the conversation we were having about being aware of not having expectations and manifesting the non-expectation or the expectation, I feel like this immediate response of that, honing the skill of integrating the divine in the, in a way of communicating and expecting of life, right? When I pull this way, I try to think about the topic at hand and the general consensus of where we are at the moment with what we've been through and where we are right now.
I like that.
With the topic at hand.
Right.
Because I'm pulling in a way that's like, bring out what you feel like needs a little bit more explanation. Right.
I like that.
But everybody feels a little different, so. Different
practices. using the tarot for so many different ways.
Yeah.
Is just blowing my mind.
To me, it's always about, I value the way that you pull your tarot and contemplate your questions, and Emily as well. But for me, I don't feel I'm that smart. I just don't feel smart enough to do that. I feel like if I were to focus on what is the absolute question I have that I need answered, or the thing I'm inquiring more knowledge about, there are times when I do, don't get me wrong. But on the whole, I feel like asking for general knowledge, you know, to trust and to allow, fully allow and trust in the universe and whatever guides you, then I have to allow that and trust that they know my life. They know my consciousness. Yes. And that they are just as close and friendly with it as I. And more so.
And that goes
and
into
more so.
Well.
Yeah, so then it becomes, okay, so I'm going to, hey girl, I'm going to allow then, I'm going to just allow the general knowledge to come through. They are aware of where we are and where we need to go and what we need to do. So the way I call is just a matter of allowing them to tell me based on where I'm at. Just give me general knowledge, an accoutrement to help me understand what lesson I'm going through. Like and it's interesting, actually, realization.
Can I have some?
It's interesting to me that that would have come up then when it wasn't but a couple of days before we went on vacation that I was just telling somebody, oh no, it was on vacation with the astrology guy. And I was like, you know, my whole theme this year is non-expectation and assumptions. That's what we ended up, we walked away and we were talking about that a bit. And I was like, and I'm really working hard on that. Last year was patience, this year is expectations and assumptions. And then to come within the span of, what, a day and a half of that, and have this big realization about expectations, and how important it is to not have them in manifesting what you're expecting or not expecting.
Right.
The allowance that you're letting in by manifesting that non or expectation.
It's almost like
to then be coupled with the skill card.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, it's that balancing act that so many people are left in a quandary with, and to work with the law of attraction.
Right.
And what came to mind was like the paintings of Monet. There's a focus there. There's water lilies. There's, you know, there's brush strokes of blues. You see that there's a focus. Mm-hmm. But it's very vague.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's allowing.
It's allowing. It's allowing for movement. It's allowing for imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It's allowing.
The seer's imagination.
Yes.
It's a powerful piece of art.
Yeah. Powerful. So the feeling that one gets from the water lilies is peace. Mm-hmm. Prevalent, most people get peace from that. And it's allowing for that. So it's almost like if what you want is a commune in Canada and having that space where you could all just be and commune and be in that space to manifest and be in the high frequency, then having a Monet of what does that bring?
Mm-hmm.
What does that bring me? That brings peace.
What does
so
it bring to each individual
like
person
true
involved?
It's almost like the focus of the manifestation is almost the vagueness
the
of
blur.
Peace.
Yeah.
I wish for peace.
How
your
about,
animal self already knows what brings peace to you.
Right.
The soul self, the aware self, already knows what brings peace to you. So manifesting peace manifests the karma.
Mm-hmm. Manifests the law of attraction to allow it to come in.
Mm-hmm. There you have the balance of... the balance of... the outcome and the feeling, the expectation within non-expectation.
Mm-hmm. It's not even an expectation, though. It's more of a knowing.
Yeah.
Knowing and a trusting of a knowing will arise.
A trusting of a knowing. And something
because the knowing will come.
Something that I've been working on that touches on. Something I've been working on is recalibrating the meaning of words. Mm. So many words have a bad connotation. Mm. They have a bad rap. Mm. Expectation has a bad rap. Well, what can we recalibrate that word to be and mean? How can we recalibrate that? Remember the word that came to mind when I had this realization. But it could be anything. It could be anything. And the realization was that because of my memories with that word, because of the association with that word, I was losing the power of the word mm-hmm. to use it in a way that serves me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really powerful.
Here's another powerful word, struggle.
Struggle.
A dark word.
Right.
It shouldn't be a dark word. And a word very much associated with the path to finding what you were just speaking about. Mm-hmm. It is a struggle. But a good struggle, one that's supposed to be honored.
The struggle of the caterpillar breaking out of the chrysalis into the wings. That struggle, if stopped, and helped, if somebody helps the butterfly out of the chrysalis, the butterfly will be disabled and won't be able to fly.
And I've always preached that too, that concept that going through the dark parts, the light and the dark, makes you worthy of that thing that you're trying to manifest.
You're strong enough.
We have to have that.
Cross-country mm-hmm. run. But if you try doing that without first going the mile, mm-hmm. then going the 2 miles, and doing the yoga and the stretches.
Having shin splints for 2 weeks.
Having shin splints.
Having to take a break.
Needing to eat the bananas. if you try to do that cross-country run, you're going to end up really crippled.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have that greatness, that honor
mm-hmm.
that comes with it by rushing the process.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. Struggle. What's interesting is we pulled
exactly
skill
what we were talking about
and struggle. A week ago.
We did.
That same spread.
We did. And it's a constant thing, really. We have those things already.
Mm-hmm.
Skill. It's always honing it, always developing it, evolving it.
Needing a reminder.
Mastercrafting it. And reminding of honoring it. Where are we now? We have exactly as much as we need to be skillful enough now. And honoring the struggle it takes to get more skill. And what it required to get the skill you currently have.
The self-care that goes into play when you have the struggle, when you're going to the next level.
Yeah.
Planning. Something that I am rather impatient with and struggle with. planning helps along the route of struggle. It makes sure that you have the tuna salad.
And it really satisfies my planning brain when you say that.
You have the tuna salad. You have the granola bars. You have the water. You have the extra blankets and the things of comfort that can ease the struggle, mm-hmm. that can ease the time that you're spending homing the craft. I mean, it's beautiful.
We didn't have to pick ones from that potluck table. I didn't get anything from that table. Not mm-hmm. one thing. Thought about it. Never really got the urge to. I saw yeah. chips and things that I knew I wouldn't like, and I just didn't even go there.
Right.
I was like, nah, they've got delicious yummies at the campsite. Yeah. I love that you said that.
Seeing the importance of it.
But it's a duality too. I mean, you don't have to be crazy with it. You don't have to go overboard with it. You know, I'm not saying have two separate calendars, but if that's what works for you, then that's fine. There has to be a balance though within planning your life and allowing it in, like we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
To say, I want a client, right? Or I want a vacation, and then to not, you know, save money for the gas for the vacation, or worry about what you're going to have while you eat there. Where are we going to sleep? Are we staying in a hotel? Are we going in a tent? Like, having the baseline planning. Requirements,
the bones.
The baseline of your needs met before you pursue said allowance and dream. Like, you have to have the baseline.
Like writing a book, they always talk about having the bones, the outline.
Mm-hmm.
Having the outline and then the creativity.
Then allowing.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. We should speak more about these bones in writing because I think I might need some of that.
Me too.
Because they're a class. They're like a class.
I think that's how we pair well. we got the bones and the flow. And together we have
magic.
Magic.
And it smells like back in the Wenatchee, just a touch with the fire.
Sagebrush hanging from the rafters.
Okay.
Ah! Okay.
This is a fabulous idea. One of my visions of my property is giant gardens, several. One of them, specifically for the community, in the middle has a round cob room, just a round room for seed storage and drying of herbs.
Mm.
What are you freaking out for? And I see them, I smell them, and physically feel myself walk through them, hanging from the rafters of my cow cottage.
I just saw you walking through, and one snags one of your dreads.
Right.
And you're like, oh, hello,
where
friend.
Is that lavender again? Yes. It's lovely.
Smells quite tantalizing.
It's lovely. Fires in the winter and the long cob bench. It's heated by the rocket mass heater.
Mm. Yeah. Well, should be quite happy.
Lovely and warm. I would keep you the warmest you've ever been. We'd have to make some sort of a tunnel from your house to my house. Some sort of a cob cottage,
yes.
Terrace, like tunnel that be lined with plants on either side.
That brings me back. One of my favorite pastimes was drawing up blueprints.
Ooh, I love that.
And see, there was a planning inside of me once upon a time.
I had journals full of those myself.
My favorite imaginings were ones of underground homes and tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And this property where there was the main house and then a secret writing hut,
mm.
art hut,
separate.
Out into the wilds. and the tunnel would lead to it, and nobody knew but me about the entrance and the secret, you know, whether it was...
That it was even there.
Right.
The ancestor. The five.
The ancestor. Five.
And I don't think I've ever pulled her. She's in the box I've been wanting to pull her, but...
Manifestations of magic.
She has the threefold sisterhood on her drum. Mm. Check her out. We were talking about visions of our future. The five card.
The tattoo on her.
The ancestor. Position on the wheel. Placed at the nexus point between passing winter and the coming spring. The ancestor stands at Imbolc, which falls on 1 February. She's associated with the new moon and the elements of air and earth. The antlered figure of the ancestor is clad in reindeer skins and evergreen leaves and stands at the gateway to the wildwood, framed by silver birch trees colored the bone white of winter. These trees grew during the Ice Age and are one of the first to regenerate in the spring. The reindeer once roamed vast tracts of forest, the true ancestors of our post-Ice Age oak woodlands, and it's known that they use the same trackways through the landscape. Thus, Ice Age hunters would follow their paths year upon year, hunting their major source of food, marking time by their regular and predictable migration. When reindeer retreated north with the melting ice, the white heart, glimpsed in the forest, replaced their older mythology. The ancestors' tracks also lead into the wildwood. The morning is clear and frosty, with the first glimmer of dawn shimmering on the horizon, where the new moon hangs with the morning star, representing a new day and a reawakened soul. The meaning. The ancestor greets you as you walk up the path that leads to the forest. She is a creature of myth, half animal, half human, who carries the wand of wisdom and the drum that summons all who can hear to gather and watch the sunrise. Community. The ancestor is blessed by the land and by divine knowledge that flows from the stars. Her coat is of white winter fur and evergreen leaves. The gateway, formed by the silver birch trees either side of the path, marks the beginning of a new commitment and a point from which you cannot turn back. And I just got chills. The trees act as a reminder to follow the path and know you are on a journey with a beginning and an end. The path is marked with the tracks that lead you onward. The new moon signifies both an end and a beginning, as Venus, the bright morning star, shows the new dawn of hope. The ancestor is linked to the part of your soul that is most ancient and most closely related to the archetypes that represent nature. She is a guardian of the sacred heart of the land and summons you by beating the drum to the heartbeat of the earth. It is the part of you that unconsciously heard the drum and stirred the first desire to walk the path that is at work here. It is the overpowering strength and patience of nature. It is the awesome and relentless turning of the cycle that brings spring and warmth and an end to hibernation and the reawakening of abundant life. Any time in my past when this became new to me, this whole idea of what I wanted my life to be, the vision of Cobb and community was always there. It's been the first thing and the thing that's ridden through consistently throughout this entire journey since 2012. So that it said, it is the part of you that unconsciously heard the drum and stirred the first desire to walk the path that is at work here. And to be talking about that. The ancestor stands before the gateway of nature that leads into the far forest. This is another beginning. Once you pass through the gateway, you must strive to stay on the path and see the journey through to the end. Reading points. You have made the leap and started a new cycle. Your instinctive spirit has felt it necessary to lead you to the gateway and a new path. You may have been reluctant or concerned at first, but whether you realize it or not, a shift has occurred. You may feel wary of the unknown denizens that await you in the forest, but the ancient ancestor within you will guide and reassure you as you relearn and greet new experiences on the path. Trust your inner voice. Listen to your instinctive and inquisitive nature. Your own inner ancestor is strong, patient, and wise. Let them lead you into the forest with new eyes and a joyful heart. Mm. Roots and branches, ancient memory, the pathfinder guide, Ellen of the ways, the spirit of nature in the subconscious human psyche, the call of the wild. The tall of the wild. She is a tall being.
She is.
The call of the wild. How isn't that true upon both of our... I'm pulling for this entire conversation. It's not specific to either one of us. Mm-hmm. And before we went on our trip, you assisted me in realizing, both with your practice that you began, and with you just being here, the incessant call I had to do major work in clearing. And on our way back from the weekend, we reassessed, realigned, refocused, and re-understood each other to know where we are, where we want to be, and what we want to achieve together, and what boundaries continually need to be reaffirmed and set in place in a healthy way. And then to have the integration, right, integration process that we both, you mostly, that both of us have gone through last week, you know. This weekend for me was very much a culmination of the 3 days work I've been doing, and whether it fell in line or not. And then with you going on with the slight bit of ayahuasca and getting the taste for what that is and the bits of knowledge, this card speaks very greatly to that, to all of that, and to now this new path that we're seeing in our lives and yet circling back with the path that we originally saw of who we are. You know, at least for me, I'm very affirming to that. But that's still very valid for me. It's still very much a thing. Now, we're on the path. We're stepping through the gateway to that. Yeah. We just need to remember to have, what was it? To trust our inner voice and listen to our own instinctive and inquisitive nature. Because the ancestor within us will guide and reassure us as we relearn and greet these new experiences on the path. Relearning and new experiencing. The petting, right? The pet and the higher divine awareness.
Holding space for the broader, the vague vision, and then trusting the intuition to lead you there, trusting the ancestor, trusting the higher self to lead the pet, the physical, animal self.
And trusting to the instinctive animal and its skill already.
Exactly.
And honoring the struggle. Yeah. There's so many things there.
Well, one of the things that popped up for me was, again, revisiting the realization that the animal self and the soul self align and are happiest at night. And what are my major skill sets that I've fought against for so long because I didn't feel like it would bring me money, the stability that I needed.
You had that view on what you should be.
Right.
Instead of allowing who you are to be.
And bringing up the blueprints, and then reading this, and then remembering, like, I mean, the call for me was, like, listen to your intuition. Listen to what skill set is going to bring you to that future vague vision that you'd like to see. And that was trust your creativity. Go and get a canvas. Go start painting. Go put it up. And I saw myself painting and having my meditation clients from Europe and doing all these things and getting overabundance of energy and money coming in and stability by aligning with my true self instead of trying to align with what the world says is correct for a parent to be. Because that is always where I clashed. Of how do I follow the shamanic call? How do I follow the guidepost that I wish to be? How do I...
And tote a child.
And tote a child. Without the tribal community that really makes sense for all this to happen in union.
Right, because it takes a village, not just to raise a child. Yeah. But to raise our child, mm-hmm. the child within us, the pet.
Yeah.
And if we're always, you know?
Yeah. The way that society has built this, it really comes back to the atomic family. Right. The nuclear family, 1940s vision of a mom and a dad and 2.5 children. And
the perfect life.
Yeah. And long before then, of course, the tribal community was cut. It was cut out. It wasn't the norm anymore. And especially, I feel, when following the soul path, it does not align with that. It doesn't. Especially when you have children. It really comes into stark contrast
mm-hmm.
of how many hurdles you have to go over with children and none of that community, none of that tribal communing of raising the child mm-hmm. and having space for yourself to keep growing because
mm-hmm.
we're never fully grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more, I feel.
Thought in my mind was the meantime tribe with common.
The what?
The tribe of the meantime before the commune, before the cumulative vague vision of paradise.
The wheel.
All in its season, all in its time.
Very cumulative. Which is exactly what I was kind of thinking as I was... Did I say the word?
Because you did.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
I didn't realize if I said it in my mind or out loud.
I'm really excited that we're recording these now for you to hear this. Oh, it's so exciting.
Cumulative. The wheel turns. And the ancestor guides. And the struggle continues. Always further. Sun and moon, duality in everything. Oh, there's three spokes in the back. Perhaps I should read it?
Yes, yes,
maybe
yes.
There's berries as well. And four stones hanging from the wheel. The wheel is placed at the autumn equinox, 21 September, with the element of water and the sunset. The setting sun gives warning that the days are shortening as winter approaches. Description: an Iron Age loom hangs between two hazel trees above a pool of still water. On the loom is an unfinished robe of ever-changing variety, woven with images representing the cycles of fate and nature. The wheel of the year is represented, and attached to the sleeves are feathers from the hawk, wren, swan, and kingfisher, sacred creatures of the wildwood. Above the robe, we catch a glimpse of the sun and the moon in the sky together. Three herons stand at the margin of the pool like hooded men, representing the fates and awaiting the completion of the robe and the coming of its owner. The loom waits for the skillful hand of the unseen weaver to complete the pattern of possibilities and potential that constitutes fate and chance. Meaning. The wheel traditionally represents the cycles of eternal law and evolution that all living creatures are governed by. Change is unavoidable and necessary in the cycles of nature if the cycles of nature are to remain alive and regenerative. But on the human level, we are the weavers of our own destiny. Consciously or unconsciously, we make the patterns and possibilities that mark our paths through fate. We wear our fate around us like a cloak, carrying with us all the potential and possibilities that the universe has to offer. And, although the seemingly random, chaotic nature of the universe always has the final word, we can affect our own life and that of the world by taking control of our destiny. Many believe that fate is set, that all things are predestined, no matter what we do in this human reality. But the weaver of the cloak can affect this ever-shifting matrix of potential just by recognizing the pattern and making timely decisions. We can grasp the web of fate and weave it in our own special personal pattern. Although the jigsaw puzzle of probability and possibility holds the universe together in a loose web of predictable events, nothing is set in stone. The very act of asking a question creates a whole new set of possible outcomes. But beware! With this possibility to weave our own destiny comes responsibility. Our actions are not without risk. If things are out of balance with the universe, the wheel will bring change in order to restore natural harmony to the web of fate. The wheel, reading points. The wheel has turned. Change is at hand. In all nature, there has a time and tide. The cyclic laws of birth, death, and rebirth are ever revolving. And without change, all things stagnate. How you deal with this change is the issue here. Within the tangled and tightly woven fabric of chance, you have the power to make a difference. By your own actions, you can change your life. You are not a prisoner of fate, but an integral part of it. Remember, this is not a dress rehearsal. Life is what happens to you while you are waiting for it to begin. Whether on the surface, the change appears to be for better or for worse, welcome it. Be at peace with it and take control of your actions within it. All things must pass. The Wheel of Fortune, reincarnation, karma and the laws of the cosmos, the cycle of life, Arion Road of the Silver Wheel, and the Weaver of Fate. It's a very cumulative card for us this evening. Very good pull.
It left me with chills. The three herons, the hooded figures, waiting for the robe to be donned. Mm-hmm. I had a reoccurring dream through my teens. First time I had this dream, I was probably about, I would say, 8 or 9, 10, in through there. I was 8 when I started questioning the dogmatic, religious Christianity. I was pulling books of the occult from the library. Mm. Pulling from the mysticism, even though I didn't. It was frowned upon, seriously frowned upon. Feeling like there was a truth that wasn't being told, a side that wasn't being told.
Mm-hmm.
black robes with hoods. You know, they were very, kind of dusty, kind of like a monk's robe. And they each had white hair and long white beards. And the three men, it was completely silent, the entire journey, completely silent. And we were walking down. What's this?
Not even a bird or wind rustling through the trees.
There, it was like it was on mute. Like there should be sound, but there wasn't. And until then, I had been dreaming a lot in black and white. And this was in color. And we were walking down a side street, and we come upon, we're in a city, and we come upon a very industrialized, it looks like a vacant, old factory building. And we come up to a side door, and there's graffiti over everything. And they pull me into the building. I'm scared. I just have a feeling of fear. And they pull me into this building, and there's like racks of different colored clothing, very, very hippie-ish, very Middle Eastern, and it was very thick. It's like all the racks were too close together, and they were pulling me through the racks, kind of pushing me and pulling me at points. And I remember seeing over the racks and seeing the expansiveness of this building. And I'm like, wow, there's something more to this building. And we come through, and over to the left, I see a group of younger individuals, probably in their 20s, playing a game at this table. It's a very big table. They're all standing around, and they're playing this game. And we walk up to it. I walk up to it, kind of leave them. I'm kind of curious at this point. I'm like, okay, I'm scared. I'm freaked out because I'm with three men that I don't know. But I walk up to this table, and I'm like, I don't understand. I don't understand this game they're playing. It's nothing I've ever seen before or could even think up. What is this? And I walk through almost like a force field through, and then I see again, and I see that they're moving the pieces with their mind. They're moving the pieces with movements of their hands. And I start like just backing up. I'm like, I don't even want to know. And I'm like, wow, I don't understand this. And I'm kind of stumbling down these steps back out towards where I thought the entrance was. And the men kind of corral me and push me over to this section over here where it was kind of darker and away from all the clothing and everything. And they're talking amongst themselves. I'm looking at them. They're talking amongst themselves. I still can't hear anything. There's no sound. And then they look at me, and they speak to me, and then just a very powerful to my chest. And all of a sudden, I'm flying up into the air. And I have this feeling, and I had this feeling before in other dreams and in life, where it felt very much like something I can control. I deemed it satanic because of the Christian cult I was in. Mm-hmm. It was like satanic power. And I was pushed up into the ceiling, and I was freaking out. I didn't have any control of my movement. And I'm up at the ceiling, and I'm just terrified, like night terror status. And I wake up. And I'm sweating. Like, my physical body is sweating. I'm covered, drenched. I'm freaked out. I'm shaking. I don't know what's happening. And I'm just under my covers like, oh my God, Satan's real. Satan's real. This is real bad. This is, oh my God, there's a demon or something. This dream happened all throughout my
my teenhood, like, it would happen at least once a year. No sound. Never any sound. When I was 20, I had the dream with sound. The same exact dream.
Okay, I'm waiting.
All of it.
I'm on the freaking edge of my seat.
Three men are taking me down the side of this building. And I'm like, I can hear our footsteps. I'm like, wait a minute. This is different. Okay.
So you have a different awareness?
A different...
But the dream is still happening the same.
Because I've had the dream so many times.
Okay.
I'm just like, okay, it's silent again. I'm silent
But
again.
You're not like... You happening. Didn't experience anything different but the sound.
It was very lucid.
Okay.
It was very lucid and I could hear the sound.
Okay.
And so I felt more in control. Like, when we got to the doorway, I'm like, we're here, right? I'm like, yes, we're here. And we opened. It was very much more inviting.
Right.
I wasn't as scared.
You weren't shoved in.
Right. I wasn't. Yeah, it didn't feel like I was being shoved. It was like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go into this
like
doorway.
A VIP.
Right. More like a VIP. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like they're pulling me into a secret.
Yeah.
And like, come on. And we go into the space and I'm like, I can smell Nag Champa. I'm just like, oh, so inviting. Every time I go into a shop with that smell, I'm just like, oh. And so in the dream, I'm just like, oh, wow.
This
is
incredible.
Exactly. And
you didn't know that smell at 8 years old, though.
No. I was always drawn to the hippie shops.
Yeah.
I was drawn to the smell. But I didn't know it was Nag Champa. I didn't really correlate it much.
Random afterthought. Keep
going.
Sorry.
So we go in, and I am giddy at this point. I'm hearing the coat racks as we pull through them. I can feel the because I didn't feel, I didn't smell, I didn't, like, nothing. All the senses were not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I can feel the texture of the clothing, the linen. And I'm like, oh my God, am I going to be able to hear the voices of the game? I'm like, okay, I'm preparing for this. And I can hear them talking behind me. And it was like, it was very much just
the
like,
men.
Yeah, the men were talking and they're like, okay, we'll wait for them to go and explore and we'll meet over in the other area over here. To do what we came here for. I'm like, oh, okay. So they did let me know what was going to happen. All right, I'm going to explore. Cool.
Right.
And so I walk up the steps, and I'm really excited because I can feel the energy pulsing from that shield.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, this is a regular shop, and only the people who are allowed to go through the force field can see what's really happening. For the force field, it looks like a regular game.
Right.
Through the force field, that's when you can see that they're moving it with their hands, their mind.
Right.
And they're talking about energy. They're talking about numerology. They're talking about necromancy.
Oh.
They're talking about all these interesting things. And the tiles, I could finally, like, I wasn't afraid, so I, like, got up close, and I looked at the tiles, and it had, it was almost like I was looking at a Rosetta Stone, the symbols were glowing, and I could, no, actually, they weren't, I understood, I couldn't tell you now the game, because it's been 8 years now, 9 years. But I understood the game. I got it. I got all of the multitude of rules and all of the different sequences. It was fabulous. It was magic. They were practicing magic. And they were playing with it. And giving it structure. And creating. And they said, all right, we'll see you later. Like, I hope you can play with us next time. And I'm like, okay, yeah, all right. I'm like in this VIP club, right? I'm just like, no way. And so I'm like, okay, now I have to go to this part. So I'm like, okay, what is this deal? The nervousness is building.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, before now, I feel like, you know, they were aggressive and they were hurting me. Mm-hmm. And I walk up to them and they all kind of gather and they're looking at me and they're like, we've been waiting for this time to come. We've been waiting for you. Are you ready? And I'm looking at them like, ready for what? And I'm like, and they push, they do the right in the chest again. And I fly up into the air, and that old feeling of like, I'm not in control, transmutes into, I'm infinite. I can fly.
It's like you just got astraled out of your body. Like in Doctor Strange.
And that is why I went freaking nuts over that movie. And I've watched it probably 6, 7, 8 times because of that moment. And it was up at the ceiling that I was like, I have this power. I can fly.
You were him.
And I just... all of a sudden, I had this righteous rage within me. All of these years being pushed up into the ceiling, totally scared out of my gourd. I come back down at them with this fury of, don't ever push me again. Huh. With all of that fury, with all of that energy, they stood there with pride. And they looked at me. You are the harbinger, the hunter. And they just, with me. And that was the end of the dream. Mm. Pride and, yeah.
I'll be curious to see if they come to see you again.
That's what it felt like.
You realize that you said 8 to 9 years. You're in what year again?
I'm in my 9th year. Oh. On my birthday, I'll be in a 1. Or a 0. I'm not sure how that works.
1.
1.
But it's interesting that that happened that time ago.
Right.
You know,
getting the tingles at the top of my head.
Dude, I am so spatial right now. Like, I'm almost dizzy from it. I'm very intrigued to see if happen along a dream with them again. Whether it be the same or different, I think there's something to that. You're coming, let's talk about numerology for a moment, right? Tarot, astrology, numerology, consciousness, these are all tools to understanding more and deeper. You know, and like I told you, I pull in a way that speaks to both of us. And your message and my message are different, yet very much in line with each other, what we need, where we are, more so now than ever. And so, 9 years, I mean, you're in your cumulative year. You're at the wheel, going into a new cycle. Again, it's just difficult for me to even keep my head straight at the moment because I feel so spatial right now. It's a huge turning point. Huge realization.
The 3 wise men waiting for the dawn of rose.
And it wasn't but the last 3 weeks that I've ever even heard you talk about being the harbinger. Granted, I don't know if you shared that with a lot of people, but to be bringing it up after the year you've had, right, especially the last 6 months, and then coming back and spatial again and doing all this work in the last 3 weeks, your birthday is coming up. You know, there's so many things crescendoing here. The new business is starting, you know, this integration between the pet and the harbinger.
Harbinger, yeah.
Harbinger. It's a lot. It is a lot, and it is giving me a major mind fuck. I can't say that prior to this evening, our conversations have ever made me feel the word spatial before. And I think you know what I'm talking about when I say that word, and I say it in this context. When we did the work together on my meditation, the feeling of being out of my body, my brain feels like it's floating above. My body is still here. My brain is very much above. Just like, whoa. And I don't even quite know what I'm whoaing at. Just maybe the fact that it's truth and the fact that there's cumulative things here and I'm seeing so many
patterns converge.
Converging. Spatial.
That's what I felt when you pulled the card. Just a huge convergence of all the things, the whole tarot pull into that, into what that meant, anchoring into me and the message that I was given. Coupled with your point of numerology. I mean, that is when I had my ascension. That is when I found the other side. I mean, it was coming to a crescendo of drug abuse, suicidal behavior, self-harm through sexual acts, complete disregard of the human existence, and finally looking in the mirror and being like, well, I don't like who I see, and I'm going to meditate. And that is when the dream came. When I was probably about 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks into my meditation process, I really had the meditations down. I had the breath work down. I was really going through the dark night of the soul.
I bet they come see you again. I don't think you'll get the same dream.
That would be really interesting.
I don't have
a new conversation.
I don't think you'll get the same dream. You might visit the same place. It might all pan in the same sort of way. But I think you'll go farther. I think maybe you'll even... I can see it being the same place. I think it goes somewhere completely different. And they may present themselves in different ways because they're a different person. Very intrigued for the next 3 days.
I'm listening to the animal medicine.
You are?
So it may be that they come to me in animal form.
Seeing as how you notice them in hair form.
Right.
Hadn't thought about them, and all of a sudden the heron.
Yeah.
It's one thing I love about this deck is it splices the Gaia-centric that we are within the animal totems that we want, you know, care for, and also the humanness of us. It's all interwoven into this thing. You know, this gorgeous deck that really speaks to several layers and levels.
I do love that deck.
The more I work with it, I knew coming home, like I said earlier, it would be like, you know, all weekend I wanted to use my deck, but I wasn't called to it. When you were pulling your deck, I even regarded in my mind of like, my deck's here, I could pull, but it's just not time. And then coming out here, sitting down, I wasn't quite ready to pull, but I was beginning to be, and it was like, you know, very just the 3 days' work and the meditation that we jointly did and that you did for me. Thunder. I definitely feel like it's put me in a new frame of mind. The experience itself, the out-of-body feeling of being completely aware of my human form, but not at all in control of it, was extremely new. This feeling of spatial in my brain, it's the best way I can describe it, is new. You know, before it was, when we first started pulling, when we were talking, especially with the deck, it was that same feeling I would describe of like almost the turning of my mind inside of my skull. It was very quick and then became this spatial thing that it's not so much I feel out of my head. It feels like my head is huge. Like it's a balloon.
Yes.
Inflating.
Expansion.
It feels like there are no, there's a skull, but there's no skull.
Right. It's not bound by the boundaries of your skull anymore.
Right. That's a new feeling. It's a new feeling.
So, if my story affects you in that way, that means that this dream is very, very, very wrought with symbolism. It's code. All of it. The entire sequence is not random. And it is code for something that ignited in you. Just like the numbers that speak to us
mm-hmm.
are activating
mm-hmm.
something inside of you, that's what this did.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me into a whole nother awareness of what this dream means. What is this code that brought you into an expansion and awareness and spatial feeling, the sudden?
And that's where these might come in to help, because I can't quite pinpoint the moment that I was feeling that way.
Right.
But I think it was in the ancestor after that card, perhaps. When we were discussing that card.
Mm-hmm.
And then bringing it into, you know, my relating to this reality with like the Doctor Strange movie and the animals with the men and the power of three and so many little points there, really.
Yeah.
I think it was again rain and sun fertilizing the earth. Simple act of putting it in a way that somehow, some way clicked for me.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. And that ties it all back into the power of manifestation.
Yeah.
And staying true to your creation process, staying true to your skill set, staying true to the voice within that says you can live in this physical reality and have abundance and have money and have stability if you follow your intuition,
soul
your
purpose.
Creative process, your soul purpose.
And allow.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're at full energy level, full power when you follow that. And what we speak about, it may be spoke about by thousands of other people across the span of ages. But the way that we speak it, the way that is true for you and in the way that we portray it in symbolism, in dream, in tarot,
even the words in the sequence that we use them in will speak to somebody, and that will make it click for them.
Yeah.
Like nobody else did before. We're seeing that over and over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, if you look at sages and philosophers of old, in the reality we live in today, that knowledge is being lost because it's harder to understand in the way that we speak and use words now. And oftentimes I find in relating to people or explaining to people my viewpoint, the way that I word it makes all the fucking difference. Truly. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say to me, you know, the way you said that really helped me understand. And if that's not what we're here for, then please tell me. Because, you know, we're all just creatures trying to figure it out. We have to share. We have communication and community and love are literally the three pinnacles of truth in this life for me. We have to have community. We have to have open, transparent, honest communication that's baselined with love to make anything happen and to make anything come into fruition, whether it be world change or self change, because they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Like we were talking with that guy, you know. I don't know if you were there for that or not, but the, you know, he's like, concept of not allowing others to affect, right? What I want is important. And but in the same token, who you are and what's important to you, right? We are the universe is us. So while it's very important to be cognizant of what you are creating in your individual universe, because of the fact that your individual universe affects the universe around it. You know, we're all, it's all one, it's all the same, yet it's all individual at the same time. Duality and everything.
Taking responsibility is what helps other universes realize.
Mm-hmm. Kind of that concept, like, was it Aiden? Was it Dylan? It was like, you know, the universe, Horton Hears a Who, right? The universe on a dandelion puff.
Ah, yes.
My universe, this is my reality. This is the only thing that I know is through these eyes. And what's given to me through different avenues that I have within this body, right? But at the same time, you have your own universe within you that's living and breathing right next to me. And collectively, we have this entire universe that is shaped and morphed by each individual universe. So trippy.
Cellophane flowers of yellow and green, towering over my head.
So spatial. I feel like I could easily channel into some meditation with you.
Would you like to?
Would you like to?
I think I would.
I think I would.
All right.
Without this?